Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Well, tonight, the clash between the Office of the Special Prosecutor and Iyoko over Cecilia Depar's stashed cash scandal is escalating. Iyoko has just issued a statement fighting back against OSP claims it failed to come for details relating to the probe on the former sanitation minister to bolster its own money laundering investigations. More on that pretty shortly. But first, the Office of the Special Prosecutor itself is tonight alleging sponsored attacks on its work. There at the Office of the Special Prosecutor, the work of the OSP has come under some level of criticism from anti-corruption campaigners and civil society organizations and the general public for failing to successfully prosecute a single corruption case since the establishment of the office 6 years ago. Now, speaking at the 14th Commonwealth Regional Conference of Heads of Anti-Corruption Agencies currently ongoing in Accra, the Director of Strategy, Research and Communications at the Office of the Special Prosecutor, Sami Dako, says most of these criticisms are sponsored. Listen.
We've started something, but we think that it can be much, much, much better. And then we also feel sponsored attacks and propaganda, where those who are very rich and powerful, when you are investigating them, they tend to be able to offer some monetary incentive to even journalists, and they will consistently be attacking you, counter and false information against your outfit, all in the hope to create that impression that we are all the same, nobody is perfect. Why are you to kill somebody or investigate somebody as if you are a saint? But the idea.
And I want to take you live to this event where my colleague James Abeji is standing by. James, what triggered these comments?
Well, Evans, there was no trigger actually. That was part of his presentation to the rest of the, the rest of the anti-corruption agency. So what they are supposed to do is to brainstorm on how they are tackling anti-corruption and the challenges they are going through in their various countries. And so it is part of that presentation that he brought out this as one of the challenges they are facing on due criticism from the public, as well as also mentioning that he believes some journalists are also actually bribed by some influential persons or paid by some influential persons in society to come harder at the OSP to smear their work and paint the picture as though the OSP has not been on top of its work. And so that was just part of his presentation to the audience, Evans.
And they also are asking for more laws to do what exactly?
Yes, Evans. So he mentioned the fact that if you look at the OSP, the setup of the OSP, there is an act he described as an exemption act, which was not part of the OSP act. He thinks that hinders their work some way, somehow. He also talks about the fact that they would want to venture into lifestyle audit and the major call made by anti-corruption campaigners as well as the general public about unexplained wealth of some persons in society. The OSP in the near future would want to venture into conducting investigations into all of those, and so calling for the fact that if there can be laws, this act added to their work, they will be grateful to venture into all of those as well.
And what about this Cecilia Depar matter? In short, while we're going to get into a statement that Iyoko has just issued, this has been a raging conflict now between Iyoko and the OSP, especially in the back of the OSP sending that referral to the Iyoko to take up that money laundering aspect of the case. Has the OSP been speaking about this?
It also came up in his presentation as one of the major cases they have picked up as the OSP, one of the very influential political cases they've been dealing with. He talked about it. In fact, he made the official figure of the amount of money that has been stolen in the premises of the former sanitation minister, putting figures to it as $1 million as well as 300,000 euros as the specific amount of money that got missing. But how much they have retrieved, he did not mention that. And he also wasn't emphatic of whether they have concluded the case or not. We heard yesterday the IOCOs talking about the fact that they will be giving back the docket on the case to the OSP because they have not been able to go a bit further into the investigations. And so what we were looking forward to is to know whether the OSP is still on the case or they'll be concluding that he has not been able to emphatically pronounce that. But to talk about the fact that it's one of the most political cases that has got some level of challenge they've been going through as part of their work, Evans.
And James, IOCO was also represented there. And I'm learning that the executive that represented IOCO has been talking about a turf war between agencies that is crippling the ability to successfully fight crime, corruption, money laundering, etc.
Exactly, Evans. So the IOCO points out, in fact, the deputy executive director of IOCO, Abdullahi Bashiru Dapila, points out the fact that they have been able to collaborate with a lot of international agencies as part of their work and investigations. The challenge is that they've not been able to do that internally or locally. Collaboration with other investigative bodies and prosecutorial bodies as one of the major challenges. He points out the fact that the fear mostly is that if you start a case and you collaborate with other agencies, the fear is whether if that investigation concludes, who takes the glory is usually the fear they have, reason why they have not been able to collaborate, and how to lay down ground rules into the investigation, who should play which part, who should play the other part. And those are the major challenges for which reason they have not been able to succeed in local collaborations than they have done with the FBI, the Interpol, and all of that at the international stage. And so that's one key challenge he also indicated, calling for a change of mindset within the heads of this institution as well as the citizens in order to succeed in this whole fight against corruption.
So in many instances, there are some obstacles. And those obstacles are largely genuine. They may be due to personality clashes or what some people call turf war. That is where maybe there is a particular issue that the two or more agencies have to collaborate. This will think that if I cede my turf to another agency to collaborate or to take part, it is going to make me unpopular or is the institution unpopular. Another issue is complexity in decision making. Sometimes during the collaboration, who does what and then who is caught on the whole exercise is itself a problem. There is always a rush or haste to take credit, unwarranted suspicion. Signs to change. Some leaders don't open up, they are inflexible. It lacks consistency and clarity on roles and responsibilities. Where two or more institutions are going to collaborate, it is best that you sit down and define the areas of collaboration, get your objectives clear before you go to the collaboration. Else, midway through your collaboration, you are likely to encounter many of these issues.
And that there is the IOCO deputy director talking about a turf war. Now, we're seeing this turf war explode between IOCO itself and the OSP. In the last few minutes, the IOCO has issued a strongly worded statement going pretty hard at the OSP following some pronouncements made by its Director of Research, Strategy and Communications on the subject of Cecilia Dapa. Remember that the OSP had referred the case around Cecilia Dapa after they came to the conclusion that they didn't find any evidence of corruption. They handed over the case to IOCO to probe the possible money laundering aspects of that. Now, it turns out, according to the OSP, that IOCO failed to come for the findings of the investigations as it relates to transboundary investigations. Tonight, IOCO says that is not true. Well, before we get into the statement, yesterday we heard from the head of IOCO herself, Madame Tiwa, who was emphatic that there was no basis for Iyoko to be looking into the money laundering subject, because OSP itself failed to provide Iyoko with enough basis to proceed.
When the docket was referred to us, you mean Madam Cecilia Dapé's case, the docket was referred to us because in the opinion of the special prosecutor, it borders on money laundering. We requested for the basis of the SP coming out with that conclusion that enabled him to say that we should continue. We requested for that, we didn't get, maybe as at now, we haven't received any response. And we sat down to review the whole docket. At the end of the day, we realized that we couldn't find our way clearer. Most of the time, when you finish your docket, you can send it to Attorney General's office for advice. But this is not something that we send for advice, because we couldn't even find our way. We didn't see our way clearer. So we wanted the Attorney General to look at what we've done and direct us to the way forward. Remember, before the docket was referred to us, the source of the money had already been referred to the Criminal Investigation Department. The Attorney General had directed the CID to look at the source of them from the money. So having reviewed the document that we received from ASP, we didn't see any offense, predicate offense, from which we'll proceed our investigation on. So we requested direction from the Office of the Attorney General. You need evidence to prove criminal offense. It's not about people saying it. Saying that somebody is corrupt, there's so much corruption, that one doesn't solve any problem. Whatever that we would have done had already been directed at the CID to do. We cannot continue to be doing fishing. It's like we don't even know what you are looking for. You just go about looking for something that you yourself, you are not even sure. So what I'm going to do is that with the AG's advice, I will send the docket that we received from the OSP to him, that there's nothing for us to do.
I mean, to put it simply, the Iyoko is accusing the special prosecutor of sending them on a fishing expedition. Then we heard today from the Director of Strategy, Research and Communications on this subject. He says, well, what we've just heard there is actually not true. The claim is that the Iyoko itself failed to request the findings of the transboundary investigations. It is not because the OSP failed to furnish them with the detail. They failed to request for it. Well, as it turns out, Iyoko is fighting, but they've taken a strong exception to the claims made by Samuel Appiah-Dacko, who is the Director of Strategy, Research and Communications at the Office of the Special Prosecutor, and the head of our Legal Affairs desk, is in the studio with me with this statement. What is it that the OSP is saying on the back of these claims?
Well, so this is actually from the Iyoko. It says that in view of the intense public interest generated by the instant matter and to correct the undue misrepresentation of facts, Iyoko would like to set the record straight. So following receipts of the referral by the OSP on the 25th of January 2024, Iyoko, by a letter dated 1st February 2024, signed by the Deputy Executive Director Operations, Abdullahi Bashiru Dapila, requested the special prosecutor for a copy of the findings on the case to facilitate Iyoko's investigation. Now, point three talks about the fact that Iyoko's letter of 1st February 2024 was received at the front desk of the office of the special prosecutor by a field desk officer, too, Solomon Tete, who duly signed for the letter at 9:52 a.m. on 2nd February 2024. Now, the deputy executive director of Iyoko, Bashiru Dapila, followed up to the Office of the Special Prosecutor and discussed with Mr. Emmanuel Basintale, the Director of Investigations of the OSP, the possibility of expediting the release of the report. And they say that the discussion was done in the presence of the Deputy Special Prosecutor, Madam Cecilia Lamte. And so Mr. Basintale assured that as soon as he received clearance from the OSP, the report would be released to Iyoko to assist in investigations to date. Iyoko has not received any information from the Office of the Special Prosecutor.
And for context, the Deputy Iyoko Director, Bashiru Dapila, is the same individual who today at this event was talking about the TEF war.
Correct.
He knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we see him being the lead person, as far as Iyoko is concerned, reaching out to OSP, and they provided specific dates, hard evidence, to support the point that indeed they had reached out to the OSP asking for the specifics.
So what they also even indicate, and they've been spelling out details of what they did, and that led to the docket landing at the Attorney General's office. So they said that Iyoko further noted that the Office of the Special Prosecutor had in its letter referring the docket to Iyoku, and that was in October 2023, and the investigation became transboundary with the involvement of Federal Bureau of Investigations of the United States in respect of parts of the cash sums that were alleged to have been transported into the jurisdiction from the US of A. After 7 months of extensive investigation and 4 months of collaborative investigation, it seems to the Office of the Special Prosecutor that the case is largely in the province of suspected money laundering and extraction. So, Evans, this was why the Office of the Special Prosecutor referred the matter to Iyoku. Now, this is what Iyoku has to say. So the facts stated above made it necessary for Iyoku to seek the advice of the Attorney General on the matter, as in view of the clear indication by the OSP that the office had found no direct and immediate evidence of corruption in the seized funds and frozen bank accounts linked to the former minister, and it was difficult to ascertain the offence on which to posit an allegation of money laundering. So the last point Iyoku makes in this statement is that following the review of the docket presented by the OSP and the advice of the Attorney General, Iyoku returned the original docket received from the OSP back to the OSP on the 3rd of May 2024. Iyoku hereby assures the general public of its preparedness to uphold the highest investigative standards and do right to all persons, irrespective of political, gender, race, ethnic, social, or economic status.
I see. And this is a statement from the executive director of Iyoku,
Mami Tuwa Dodankwa,
on this particular matter. And she's already made a point that the OSP sent them on a fishing expedition.
Yes, yes.
Now they're providing a bit more details to back that particular claim. I want to bring in right now Martin Pebu, his lawyer, and Apiakubi is also MP, a lawyer himself of Asante Achim North, a member of the Constitutional Legal Affairs Committee in Parliament. Gentlemen, thank you for your time here on Top Story. Martin, let me start with you. Your reaction to this: two agencies who must be fighting crime, corruption, money laundering, etc., embroiled now in a tussle over a former minister who was in the thick of things and in the pickle over money that was found in their house.
I'm scandalized by the dust that Iyoku is raising. This is just purely a dust, causing confusion so that we lose sight of how they goofed. Seriously goofed, Evans. You see, let's pick this first. So they are clutching a straw just to divert attention. Evans, look at the date. The docket was returned to, was given to Iyoku on the 25th of January. That was the same date that Mr. Jabin went to court and withdrew the application. That is the application to confirm the seizure order, and then the freezing order. Then the judge said, return the money to Madame Dapa within 72 hours. I told you, even before this letter came out, I knew that no, Mr. Jabin would not sit on this docket in a manner as to stultify Yoko's work. I said it when I granted an interview early when this back and forth started. So you see that the docket went to Iyoku on the same 25th. Evans, the million-dollar question is, how did Iyoku sit down for Madame Dapa to get this money and to for Iyoku not to take the money from her at the time OSP was giving the money back to her? That is a substantive issue. This letter they've written is neither here nor there. Now let's go in one by one. And it's not as if we haven't said it. We kept ranting on air that, hey, excuse me, Mami Tiwa Dodankwa, be sure your men are on site to take the money from Madame Dapa at the time it is being handed over. I remember I granted several interviews, others chipped in. Lots of people mentioned it. You sat down, the money is being returned to Madame Dapa, and then you come and raise this dust. This letter goes nowhere. It's neither here nor there because, listen, a docket was given to you. If the OSP's own summaries and those things were not added, Evans, my understanding is that there were at least 20 statements. So 20 individuals have given their own accounts about the bad things Madame Dapa has done. That is evidence. Gather your men, share the 20 statements. Iyoku has lots of, investigators and lawyers. Share them. Then quick. If they really meant to do business, they could have. So when you read, what did you read? What's your summary? Yes, officer number two, lawyer number three. Then you hurry up if they really wanted to deal with this case. So that by now, the money would have been with Iyoku, and then we take time to come to this report.
Well,
Somebody gives you a docket that has 20 statements.
Well, they have
you
the docket.
On your hands.
They have the, Well, they have the docket. They have the docket, but they've produced evidence, at least in the dates that they've produced tonight, and we are yet to hear if the OSP will contradict that. But they said they needed further and better particulars relating to the transboundary investigations that OSP had done. And they had written to Iyoko, followed up. Iyoko promised them they'll give them the details they require. At least OSP should have done same and given the requested documentation and further particulars to the Iyoko, then we can then say that they had everything they needed and they still sat on their hands.
No, not at all, Evans. You are falling for the bait. You are falling for it. Look, I'm a lawyer. I can see clearly. I told you that, look, and we warned Mami Tiwa that because of what she did in the Sewa Bruni case, the lady who said she was dating President Akufo-Addo, the Takoradi girls case, the Amakwata reporting Stephen, Professor Adair to Iyoko, a case in which they had no jurisdiction to investigate corruption, which they did, and then said Adair hadn't produced evidence, right? And then the case Kwame A plus reported to CID board. That time Madam Tiwa was CID board. Madam Tiwa took the phone. The case against Asensu Buati and Abujinako. Tiwa took a phone and was begging A plus not to press charges. So me, because of her profile, I knew that she would do something like this. So we kept saying that, hey, Madam Tiwa, this is the last chance. This case is your make or break case. Evan, the thing she's asking for is neither here nor there. If she knew she didn't have the know-how, couldn't she have asked? You're on radio. Couldn't she have asked Martin Tebu? You're on radio talking. Come here. What can you do about this file for me? What can you show me? As I said, go for the money quickly. The same powers that Ajabin has, she said Ajabin has, that enables you to go into Madame Dapai's house to search and take for a period before you go to court for confirmation. Iyoko has had their act since 2010. So they have it, and they know
you almost seem to suggest that the excuse we've now read in their statement tonight is just a smokescreen.
That is what it is, Evans. Let's not fall for it. I'm telling you that Tiwa really has to leave this office because we want her. We want her, and I told you, 25th, you have this docket.
Martin, stay with me. Let me bring in Andy Apiakubi. Also joining me right now is Adam Senanu, the anti-corruption campaigner. Andy, thank you for your time on Top Story. Do you agree, having read the statement from Iyoko, that it is just a smokescreen, a red herring, just so we would focus elsewhere, whilst the real substance is they had every power, all they needed to seize that money and follow that money, follow the trail. As we always say in investigations, just follow the money and find what indeed the OSP was suggesting there, that there could be potential money laundering.
Well, thank you very much. And very good evening to your cherished listeners. You see, it's very sad for two anti-corruption agencies do what they're doing in public. It's very sad. And for me, reading between the lines, I see there's an attempt to cover some part of the evidence. Indeed, these are very, these are institutions of professionals. I expect them to do better than they agree. Indeed, for once, I seem to side with Martin on the suspicions that he's trying to raise. See, we have integrity crisis here because two state institutions supposed to be doing investigation in the public space, coming themselves into the public arena and openly disagreeing with each other, not finding the truth in the matter of investigation, where we have been and where we have collaborated, and not bringing us any dividend out of this investigation. It's really sad. So be it as it is. And indeed, in reference to other statements that I've heard in the past, I never thought for a minute that there was going to be any seriousness in this investigation, and definitely this is what we are seeing. We have crossed borders to also collaborate with FBI, and FBI telling us that there was no trace of any money laundering. Well, so be it, but in Ghana, don't we have enough institutions to be able to do this investigation and before contacting FBI? what was the basis of the contact with the FBI? Is it that there was a link to FBI, or there was no link, and they wanted to just sacrifice their mandate to FBI? So there are more questions than answers.
And I've heard you use the word cover-up tonight. You suspect a cover-up?
Well, I have always thought that for the two state institutions to be showing open disagreement like that, there may be a state-managed conflict showing, which invariably may lead to the same position as preferred some authorities. So we are only just trying to demonstrate the difficulties that the so-called investigative agencies are experiencing, for which reason it becomes a justification for a no-show.
Key question then becomes, what should happen now? You have an OSP and an Yoko now at each other's throats now, fighting in public over a subject that has really generated a lot of public discussion. There's a lot of national interest on it. Now you believe there's a cover-up. Something has happened. What must happen?
Interestingly, the AG, which is the godfather of group institutions, appears to be very quiet and not showing us the direction. That is also worrisome. I would think that these three institutions, AG, Yoko, and the Office of the Special Prosecutor, they should find themselves in a common place to discuss it. If they are not interested in the prosecution, they should also give that indication so that we don't waste precious time waiting for investigations that will never be conducted.
Adam Senanu, you've just heard there the Member of Parliament for Asante Kim North, who also happens to be a member of the Constitutional Legal Affairs Committee, use the word cover-up. And of course, as you know, he is stalled of the MPP. For him to use those words, I'm pretty sure he's saying that with a lot of meaning there. How much are you reading into that? And from what you've just heard tonight from the OSP's letter, does it agree with your own thoughts on the subject?
Well, yes. I mean, I've been part of the process. Indeed, I've been part of the Commonwealth Heads of Institutions, Anti-Corruption Institutions conference, just left there. So there when Sami spoke. What is intriguing is simple. Listen, the OSP referred a case and says, we need you to investigate because the information we have so far suggests that this may be the issue of money laundering, particularly because there's a disconnect between the resources available to Madam Cecilia Dapa and her official income. And that falls fully within the remit of Yoko. Now, Yoko seems to be suggesting that we expect that the docket you gave us, primarily with witness statements, and I gathered at least 25 or so of them, we are expecting that you should have clearly outlined in a summary that this is the evidence. But the institutions don't work like that. They expect that you submit a docket with witness statements. That's a standard. It is rare for them to go to providing reports. Usually, the docket with witness statements is what you use to begin your investigation. So for those of us in civil society, the question is this. Why haven't you done an investigation, followed the trail, and tell us that the trail ended up nowhere? Then we have confidence that you did your part as an institution with a mandate that has the Anti-Money Laundering Act as part of your responsibility. But without having done any investigation, they say they find no evidence. I mean, you are to find the evidence. You have to use the witness statements at the beginning point, do your own investigation, and then come back and say we found nothing. At the moment, most of us are aware that there was a glaring disconnect between the hundreds of thousands of dollars that were found, within Madame Dapin's accounts and wherever, and her legitimate income. Who is giving us an answer to that? That's the question. So we are not quite sure where Yoko is coming from. I'm not quite sure why they even went to the AGs for advice when it's a clear part of their investigative mandate. So they probably need to come back again. We, in our minds, are clear. they were expected to also do an investigation. I think that OSP is saying that, look, you didn't specifically ask for the report of our work with the FBI, which is separate from our
report. But Iyoko in his letter tonight says they did. They actually produce dates and stamps and names to show that they did, and that the OSP failed to produce those documents.
Well, yes, that's true. And we are not disputing that. What we are saying is this. I think the OSP needs to give a response to this. I'm sure they're going to say that, you know what, our belief is that the witness statements provided in the docket were sufficient for you to start an investigation because we are behaving as a whistleblower. We're just giving you some insight, and your task is to do the investigation and report to the good people.
But I didn't remember that. What triggered the OSP's response, the Iyoko's response tonight, is the OSP claiming that they had not come for the findings, the documents that they needed to do the work, only for Iyoko to come back to produce the evidence.
Ivan, it's a very nuanced statement that OSP said. OSP said they didn't come for the transboundary report.
Yes, the findings
OSP
related to the transboundary investigations.
OSP
yes.
is pointing out to the fact that that work done with the FBI, you did not specifically request that because the OSP is likely to have also had to get clearance from FBI and say, can we hand this over? They are saying you asked for a general report, but not for the specific report.